We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 30 this morning, and there's a couple aspects of this. The first is that these first four verses are talking to David Whitmer. And if you recall, David Whitmer is who loaded up the wagon. Oliver Cowdery wrote him, told him about Joseph Smith and what they were doing, loaded up the wagon, came and got them, convinced them to come back to their house that the Whitmers would provide with no expense to Joseph Smith and take care of them so that they could dedicate their time wholeheartedly to finishing up the translation. And it's really the Whitmer family that was a huge part of this. And you'll remember that there was revelations in 15 and 16 to John and Peter, as they asked what one thing that they could do that would be of most importance, and they were told the greatest thing that they could do was to cry, preach repentance, and bring souls back to Heavenly Father, to Christ. And that's exactly what it means when we are told to be one with Christ and Heavenly Father. That is the mission, to cry repentance and bring souls to them. That was Jesus Christ's desire. And that's what that means. And so as we go into this and we start with this David Whitmer, we need to remember these are pivotal players. David Whitmer's one of the three witnesses in church history and good men. So we've just finished up this conference and David Whitmer believed Hiram Page. And he believed what he told about the seer stone. So along with Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer was a big one who believed. And it was Oliver who chastised Joseph Smith. And the Whitmers were a big part of that as well. David Whitmer was a big part of that. And so that's kind of the background knowledge that we need to have. And we start with this rebuke to David. And as I read it, and as we read it, really, it strikes me how important this is for me. Because here's this great man who I would compare him a lot to Peter, and probably because I'm in the New Testament studying as well, and Peter's enthusiasm, like, I will go with you. He jumps in the water. If it's you, bid me jump in the water, come to you, and I'll walk on water too. And where you go, I will go. And he's the one who cuts off the ear of the when they come to take the Savior at the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, Peter is just impetuous, but he loves the Lord with this huge, huge heart and enthusiasm. And is he a little unschooled and a little immature because this is all brand new? Yes, he's also the one who denies Christ three times. And so as I read this, just the contrast or the comparison of the two was really in the back of my mind, because here's David Whitmer, who has done so much good, and here he is being rebuked because he listened to Hiram Page. And we've come off this conference, this three-day conference has just ended, and Hiram renounces, along with members of the church, they renounce that Hiram's, what he thought was revelation, was not from God and it's not true. And that is pretty impressive to me. That's pretty stellar to stand in front and say I was wrong. And so I just wanted to make sure we remembered all of that as we begin this. And so as we read, I really take this personally in my own life, applicable to all of us. You have cared more what man thought, and God is still trying to teach me that I am here to please him and no one else. And that is a huge lesson. So I love that. And really this comes because he listened to Hiram Page. That's the biggest thing. Okay. Two, your mind has been on the things of the earth, right? And that's why we care what man thinks, is we're very much here and now, more than on the things of me, your maker. And give heed to my spirit. You have been persuaded by those whom I have not commanded. And what that means is Hiram Page was not commanded. Joseph Smith is. Follow the prophet and prove the truth of things through my Holy Spirit. And how lucky are we that we know that truth? Just follow God and you don't have to worry about anything else. Did that come from the prophet's mouth? Great, then follow it. If it didn't, not true, especially if it's for the whole church, not true. Did it come by the Spirit to you? Was it for your family? Was it for you? Then great. Pray about that. Get a witness of that. Move forward. So all of this training and teaching them and refining is really such a gift to us that we get to benefit from, that they have taught us through their lives so that we can really just go, yep, that's not from God. Because if I'm thinking things that I need to go and tell the bishop or I need to go and tell the Relief Society president, not my domain. Okay. Three, wherefore you are left to inquire for yourself and ponder on the things he has been cut from the Spirit for a time. And just as Joseph Smith was when he lost the 116 pages, there are consequences to our actions. It's not a punishment. It is not permanent. It is a consequence. You acted as you should not. You hearkened to someone you should not. Now you can get it back. Seek for it back. Pray, work with my Spirit, ponder and work, and you will receive it back. And I love that because that's so informative to the rest of us. And we all know what that feels like, to do something and be cut off from the Spirit and to try and get it back. Love that. Okay, and it is work. Four, your home shall be at your Father's house, and you shall attend to the ministry in this church before you go into the world. And so it's just take that time. Get it back. Get yourself back in line with me, with my Spirit. Work with me. And then you can go out in the world. And it's just do the work of repentance. Come back and align yourself with me. And what a huge lesson and opportunity for him and for us to learn from. Because as we know, this will continue. There will be harder things that Peter goes through and he and David goes through and John goes through. And they've got to align themselves and really learn to not care what man thinks, but to put God first and to trust Joseph Smith and to listen to the prophet and follow him. And this is such a refining that all of us have to go through in our life. And theirs is such a blessing and example to us. Okay, so that is for David. Okay, now we come in to Peter. So Peter is told to go and be a companion to Oliver. The time has come. They're going to go on the mission. And he says to him, therefore, fear not, give heed to the words and advice of your brother, which Oliver Cowdery is his brother-in-law. Give heed. And isn't that neat? Because Oliver has just swallowed his pride and had to go and talk to Hiram Page. But he is told to listen to Oliver. And that just tells you that God still loves all of them. This is just an opportunity to refine themselves, become better. And that's what life is. Okay. Ever lifting up your heart to me in prayer and faith in verse 6. Constant prayer. It reminds me so much as he's blessing them to go out and teach the Lamanites of the sons of Mosiah. And when he says that you will pray constantly, that you will be delivered in your afflictions, that is like, ooh, shoot, it's not going to be easy. I am going to need to pray. I am going to need to trust in the Lord. And it reminds me so much of the sons of Mosiah and how they were blessed before they left. A lot of those same things. And it does tell us a lot of their mission, that they marched 300 miles, freezing snow, to Indian territory, and then were told they could not stay there. But man, the miracles that came out of that mission. They found Sidney Rigdon. They ended up in a matter of a couple of weeks, baptizing 127 people. The Kirtland Temple will be built there. There are many of the early church leaders they find and convert there. So it's a very successful mission, but a lot of hard things and affliction. So love that comparison to the sons of Mosiah. None have I appointed to be his counselor over him in the church. And this is again talking about Oliver Cowdery. So you don't need to counsel him. Joseph Smith is over him. So again, learn your calling, learn who you preside over, who you have authority over, and who you get to counsel and who you get revelation for. So such great things. And then give heed, and this is so important for missionaries in verse 8. Give heed to these things, be diligent in keeping my commandments, and you shall be blessed. And how many times as parents do we say strict obedience? God pours out his blessings on the missionaries if they are strictly obedient. In at the time it says, in doing companionship study. So that verse 8 is just such a huge one for missionaries in general. And how the Lord blesses us and blesses all of us by strict obedience. I was just reflecting on when a stake president said if we would up our temple attendance and if we would go weekly, every single thing in our life would improve. And I was just writing in my journal how much I miss the temple and how true that blessing, I took him at his word, how true that blessing was. This verse 8, if we will give strict heed, pray constantly, read our scriptures, do come follow me. All those things, we are blessed beyond our greatest belief because God delights to honor and bless us. And when we do what he says, we have his promise. When we do not what is said, he says, we have no promise. And so I love that verse. Okay, we end in verse 9 with John, and he is told to be a trump and proclaim that gospel. And I love that, that God has the faith. Just open your mouth and be a trump everywhere. It will sound and people will hear. And I love that. And labor with your brother, Philip Burroughs, in the regions round about. And 11, and this again is such a great one for missionaries. Your whole labor shall be in Zion with your whole soul from henceforth. And you shall ever open your mouth in my cause, not fearing what man can do, for I am with you. And I love that it ends and begins with the same counsel. David, you have feared man. And it ends with John, do not fear man, for I am with you. And that is said to all of us. If we put God first, we have his promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And just like the sons of Mosiah, I'm not bragging in my own strength, Ammon says. I am bragging in the Lord because I have learned in his strength I can do all things. So I love these three revelations that they've combined because what a powerful truth they teach. Put God first. Fear not, man. That is something we strive every day to learn to do. And it's not something I have mastered. And so I love these examples of these men. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.